All right, grab your Bible, grab your journal, and let's get ready to learn together. I'm so glad we're back together tonight. I'm sure you had a ton of fun this afternoon during free time with flag bingo football, or just an opportunity to just sit, to relax, and to rest. And we're going to continue exploring this idea that one day God will make all things new. And tonight we're going to answer a very specific question that I think anyone that evaluates the suffering or the difficulties and challenges that they experience in life, at some point, maybe even in the back of your mind, you ask this question. And I'll share that question with you in just a moment. But here's how we're going to start. I am a huge superhero movie, superhero TV show person. I love all of them. If Marvel continues to come out with movies and they're at stage, 15 and 15 years, I'm still in. Take all my money. I'm going to the movies. Anybody else with me? Love the movie, the superhero movies. There we go. Even the DC ones, they're average or terrible, but I'm still going to go and watch them. And the reason why I'm a huge fan, at least, is because I love that idea that is portrayed, commonly portrayed in most superhero movies, right? Everything's awesome until it's not. There's a villain that is trying to take over the world, trying to get revenge, trying to make things utterly chaotic. And the people are in danger. The world is in danger. People that the hero in the movie loves is in danger. And there's always this like iconic moment where all hope seems lost. It seems like nothing is going to happen to rescue everyone, to save them. And maybe you're sitting in the movie or you're sitting at home and you're on the edge of your seat. You're stressed because you see all of the tension and the danger and you don't know what's going to happen next. And the hero swoops in and they rescue the day. They do something amazing. They do the impossible and they rescue the world. They rescue those who are in danger. And the hero saves the day. That's what most superhero movies are. Maybe you guys have been in a movie theater when you've been watching one of those, and it's that iconic moment where there's so much danger, there's so much peril, who knows what's going to happen, and the hero swoops in and rescues the day, and everyone starts clapping in a movie theater. Have you ever experienced this? And you're like, guys, this is not real, but we are all sucked in. And we're so excited that the hero has come to save the day. And the reason why we're so excited is because as human beings, we are hardwired. It is in our nature. It is normal for us to long for a rescuer, for us to long for a hero to come to us in the midst of our pain, at our greatest point of need, to rescue us, to bring healing, to bring hope, to vanquish evil. And maybe as you're looking at your life over the course of this weekend, even reflecting on the pain that you're currently experiencing or walking through, and you think about God, you might even think, man, what kind of hero is this? I'm in the most difficult season in my life. I'm experiencing this challenging situation in my family. And this would be a great time for this hero, the God of the universe, to swoop in and save the day. But he isn't. What in the world? I get that he's going to do something on into the future, that he's going to make everything beautiful and new at some point in the future. But why doesn't he swoop in right now and make a change? Why doesn't he make things new now? Why doesn't he change my circumstance now? Why doesn't he heal me now? Why doesn't he heal this situation now? Why doesn't he make all things new now? That might be a question that you've wrestled with or are wrestling with in this very moment. And that's a question we're going to spend the rest of our time answering. Why doesn't God do something now? I know he'll do something in the future, but in my present circumstance, why doesn't God do something now? And we'll spend the next few moments answering that very important question. It's critical that you know the answer to this. And so hopefully I'll help you, resource you, give you more scripture to back up your claim and your understanding of the answer to this question. Why doesn't God do something now? And so we'll spend the next few moments looking at the fact that God has done something, God is doing something, and that God will do something. So God has done something, he is doing something, and he will do something. That's the answer to the question, why doesn't God do something now? So let me jump back in to number one. Why doesn't God do something now? God has actually done something now. He did the most important work of rescuing us from sin. God has done something about your circumstance, your pain, your difficulty, because he addressed the most important difficulty that you experience. And he rescued you from sin. Because all of us are broken. All of us are prone to wander, are prone to seek our own desires. And God stepped in and did the most important work of rescuing us from sin. This last week, I was watching this video on YouTube, and it's just such a great reminder of how sin and brokenness is hardwired into our hearts. It's this video of these two-year-old boys, they're twins, and they're sitting at a table, and their parents come in front of them, and their parents are like, hey, we're gonna put these gummy bears on the table, and you can't eat them until we come back, okay? We're gonna go grab something really quickly, and you boys just stay here, and we'll be back in just a second. And so they put down the gummy bears, the gummy worms, whatever they are, and they leave. And these two-year-old boys, they go, they look at the gummy bears, and then they look at each other, and they don't even say, they can't even talk because they're two, and they just nod. And then they start grabbing the gummies and crushing it, and it is such a funny picture to think about that we never have to train ourselves or teach ourselves to disobey, to be impatient, to choose our own way. As cute and as funny as that is, all along the way, that's how we are wired. We are hardwired to say no to the instruction of a kind, good, and loving God. And our decision to run from him and run to our own way leads us to be separated from him. And so our greatest point of need is to be reconciled with the God of the universe who loves us. And so God did something by sending his son Jesus to rescue us from sin. Let me give you a couple passages of scripture, verses of scripture that illustrate this point, that God has done something, the most important work of rescuing us from sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says this, "For our sake he made him, God made him who is Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, to become sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The whole gospel is summed up in that verse. Jesus, who was perfect, righteous, and holy, became sin for us as he hung on that cross, and the God of the universe turned his back on him as he hung with all the sin that you and I have ever and will ever commit on his shoulders, bearing the burden, giving his life so that we might have life. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Another verse is 1 Peter 3, verse 18. It says, "For Christ also suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." Here's another one, Titus 3:5. It says, "He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." And so all throughout the scripture, you see it described and explained and depicted that we were lost, we were broken. There was nothing that we could do to make our way to God. And so God made his way to us. It is the gospel. It is the hope that we have. It is what God did on our our behalf because of the pain and brokenness in our lives. And so if Jesus didn't die, and if Jesus didn't raise again, this life, your current life right now, will be as good as it gets for you. If the gospel isn't true, if Jesus didn't die and raise again, your life right now is as good as it's ever going to get. But there's amazing news, y'all. God has done something, and he rescued us at our greatest point of need. When Satan thought he was winning, when he thought that he had us for all eternity, when Satan thought he had control of your life, your hero stepped in at just the right moment, the most important moment, and gave his life for yours, reuniting you with the Father if you accept his gift of salvation. And so the question, why doesn't God do something now, is a fair one. And the truth is, he has done something about the most important and significant problem in your life. More important and more significant even than the pain that you're enduring right now. God has done something. Secondly, God is doing something. God is doing something. He's strengthening your faith. If you are a follower of his, if you've placed your faith in him, he's showcasing your faith to a watching world, and he's preparing you for the future. God is doing something, and what he's doing is he's strengthening your faith. He's putting your faith on display so that others can look at your life and say, look at how she's responding. Look at how he is running towards me. Look at how he or she is dependent on me in the midst of this really challenging circumstance. God is doing something, even when it doesn't feel like it. Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3 encourages us in this way. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy? Reuniting you with him, with his Father. He despised the shame, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at this. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. He was beaten, he was mocked, he was scorned, he was betrayed, he was rejected, and he was crucified. Why? So that you may not grow weary or heavy or faint-hearted. Guys, Jesus hung on that cross and he rose again for the weariness that you feel right now. For the faint-heartedness that you might have walked into this weekend with. Jesus did that for you because he wanted to strengthen you. He wanted to strengthen your faith. He wanted to lift you up. The next verse I want to share that talks about the idea that God is doing something is one that kind of has a cliche attached to it. It was even popularized. Have you guys ever seen the TV show Manifest? Yeah, yep, terrible show, terrible acting, a plot that went way south. The first season was incredible, even though there's terrible acting, and the following seasons, the terrible acting was also combined with a terrible plot. Anyways, in that show, you know, Romans 8:28 plays this significant meaning, right? That God is working together for good, everything, all things together for good for those who love God. And so it's like in the mainstream media. People who aren't Christians know this verse, and it's easy to look over it, right? But listen to the words of it again. Romans 8:28. And we know, we are confident, we are sure that for those who love God, all things, everything, even the thing that you are crying about in your room by yourself, even the thing that you haven't told anyone else about, even the thing that you brought up this weekend, this morning, or you've shared with a small group leader or a friend or family member, even that difficult thing, if you love God, God is working together for good, all things, for those who are called according to his purpose. I heard this phrase in a sermon a long time ago, and I think it's just such a helpful way to view the pain and difficulty that we experience. And it's this: if it's not good, then God's not done. If it's not good, then God's not done. If you look at your life, if you reflect on what you might be experiencing right now, and you go, man, that is not good. That is not whole. That is not peaceful. That is not the way God intended it to be. Here's the truth. God's not done. I don't know who needs to hear that, and I don't know the specific reason you might need to hear it, but I hope that you hear it loud and clear, that if it's not good, God's not done. I think back, when I think of that idea, about 4 years ago at Hideaway, I was standing at the back of the room singing that song, Yes, I Will, with tears flowing down my eyes. And the reason why was I was about to get married in 3 or 4 months, and my visa for being able to stay and work in the U.S. was about to expire literally the day after Hideaway, and I didn't know what was going to happen next. Would I need to leave the country? When would I be able to come back? Would my wedding be even able to happen on the day that it was supposed to happen? There were so many unknowns. I had so many questions, but still, by God's grace and in his kindness, I was able to boldly proclaim that, yes, I will lift you higher when I am in the lowest valley, because God was doing something. And while it wasn't good in the moment, God was not done. And he continues even today to strengthen my faith through the way he worked through that particular situation. Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 has to say about God doing something now in strengthening your faith and showcasing it for a watching world. It says, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Think about that for a second. Think about the thing that feels heaviest in your life right now. And you wish it would disappear. You wish it would be made new. You wish it would be made right. You wish God would come in and rescue you now. Here's how the Apostle Paul describes whatever that might be. He says, this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The image that comes to my mind is the image of a feather and a boulder. Most of us are familiar with both of those things, a feather and a boulder. A feather is light. A feather can be blown away, you know, with the slightest breeze. But a huge boulder is steady, is sturdy, can stand up to hurricane force winds, because it is heavy, because it is sturdy, because it is steady, and it is weighty. And what this verse says is that whatever you're going through right now, it's like a feather, even though it doesn't feel like it. In comparison to what you will experience, how God will redeem, how God will restore, it's like a light feather that would be blown away with the slightest breeze. What an incredible picture. Verse 18 in 2 Corinthians 4 says this: as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. That means they're passing away, they're temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. In other words, the pain, the difficulty, and the challenge that you're experiencing right now, it's only for a time. It's only temporary. And there awaits for you in the future because of what God is doing now, something that will never fade away. And so God has done something. God is doing something. He's doing a continual work in your life of strengthening your faith, using the challenges and difficulties you're experiencing for good in your life and for good in the lives of others. Imagine how your friends, your classmates, your family members, your peers will respond when they see how you endure difficulty. Even this last summer, I got to experience that in a unique way. One of my really good friends, Sean Hill, and his wife, Emily Hill, they had their daughter, Mia, who was given a life-limiting diagnosis where they didn't know how long she was going to live after she was born. And so she was born on a Monday, and she lived for about 6 hours or so, and they got to spend time with their little baby girl, Mia. And what I got to experience in watching them walk through this most horrible of situations, in grieving through it and still trusting God. And while it was really, really hard, they had the perspective that this is a light and momentary affliction that's temporary, and that on into the future there is a glorious, weighty joy of being reunited with their daughter and of being in heaven with her and with all of the believers, where there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more brokenness, and no more dying. That is an amazing, amazing testimony that has strengthened my faith, even though it didn't happen specifically to me. So what about you? What are you going through potentially that could be something that God uses to strengthen or start the faith of someone else in your life? And so God has done something, God is doing something, and finally God will do something, which we've reflected on already, but I think it's right and appropriate to reflect on it again. God will do something. He will take us into his presence to enjoy him as the chief prize. God will do something, and that is he will take us into his presence to enjoy him as the chief prize. John chapter 14, you may be really familiar with verse 6 because it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. But the verses right before that are verses 1 through 3, and I commend them to you right now in this moment. Jesus says to his disciples then and to his disciples now in this room at Sky Ranch in 2022. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I don't know what you're going through, but amazing news, y'all. God is preparing a place for you, and he's going to come and bring you to where he is, a new heaven and a new earth. 1 John 3:2 is another verse that talks about the promise that he will take us into his presence to enjoy him. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, when Jesus returns, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What an incredible promise. You and I, those of us who place our faith and trust in Jesus and walk through the difficulties that we experience in life today, one day God is doing something so amazing that you are going to be like Jesus in every way imaginable except being God like him. Like, he's going to perfect your body. He's going to perfect your mind. He's going to make everything new about you and your experience in life. Because we will see him as he is. We can't even comprehend what that even means. And the most amazing thing is that the greatest treasure that awaits us in the future isn't an amazing mansion, isn't beautiful scenery to go to. It is God himself. Psalm 16, verse 5, it says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot." And so the psalmist is saying, I'm excited to experience all of the glories and goodness of this new heaven and new earth, but the most amazing thing about it is that I will be in the presence of the holy God of the universe. I will experience him as he is meant to be experienced, with no sin and no shame and no pain. All things will be new, and he will be the greatest treasure. He will be the greatest prize. And so for those of us who've placed our faith in Jesus, this life is as bad as it gets. That is just such comforting news, that the challenges that you're enduring or will endure is as bad as it's gonna get. Guys, the best is yet to come. The best awaits us in the future. God has done something, he is doing something, and he will do something. So in conclusion, I want to ask you three questions. Here's the first question. The first question is for you to answer is, have I placed my faith in Jesus? Have I placed my faith in Jesus? No, like for real. I know in a room this size with 260 some odd students, there might be someone that as they're hearing this, you've never made that personal, conscious decision to entrust your life to God. You're not a Christian because you're in a small group. You're not a Christian because you've come to Hideaway. You're not a Christian because you go to church. You're not a Christian because your parents are Christians. You are a Christian because you understand your need for rescue, for your hero to come at just the right moment and die on the cross and raise again, offering you a reunification with the God of the universe. That's what makes you a Christian, believing in the gospel. Have you? And if yes, how do you know? Can you articulate that? Can you explain, this is how I know that I'm a Christian? And if not, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer in Jesus, then why not? What's holding you back? And maybe in this small group time and in this worship and reflection time after this message, you really think about and contemplate that answer, your honest answer, as to what might be holding you back from placing your faith in Jesus. So that's a question for all of us to consider, even if you are 100% sure that you are his. How do you know? Can you articulate it? And then the second question is, how might God be using the pain in your life for good? How might Romans 8:28 be true for you? How might God be using your circumstance, as painful, as difficult, as challenging, as heartbreaking, as exhausting as it is, how might God be using that pain for good in your life and in the lives of those around you? And then the last question is, what action can you take to use the pain in your life to showcase God to those around you? What action can you take to put your pain and your perspective and your trust and devotion to God on display for all to see? That doesn't necessarily mean it needs to be a social media post or anything like that, but how can you share with others, hey, this is the pain, this is the struggle that I'm going through, and here's the truth about God that I'm holding on to and resting in. So in a moment after we worship and we give you some instructions, I hope you'll wrestle with those questions. Am I a Christian? And if I am, how do I know? And if not, what's holding me back? How might God be using the pain that I'm experiencing right now for good? And how can I humbly but faithfully put what God is doing, using the pain in my life, on display to influence and be a blessing to those around me? Let me pray, and then we'll sing together. God, we love you. Oh, we thank you for the fact that there is a clear answer to the question, why isn't God doing something now? That you have done something, that you are doing something in the midst of our lives, even though we don't feel it or know it or understand it fully, and that you will do something. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be confident in you, that we would rest in you, that we would relinquish control, that we would trust that if it's not good, that you're not done. And I pray that these students would prayerfully and seriously consider their answers to those questions. God, I pray if there's someone in this room that does not know you, that today would be the day that they make that personal decision to place their faith and trust in you. I pray that you'd strengthen the hearts that are heavy, that are weary, that are tired, that are discouraged, that are broken in this room. May they be reminded of the fact that even when they can't see it, you're working. We love you. In Jesus' name.